Film studios washed over in gold. The Warner Brothers Golden Blue Shield, a Time Warner Entertainment company. Six curved pieces of steel, one inside the other, form the letter V, Village Roadshow Pictures.
When you're smiling.
White letters on a black background. Warner Brothers presents, in association with Village Roadshow Pictures and NPV Entertainment, a Baltimore Spring Creek Pictures Face Tribeca production.
When you're crying. 1957 was a big year. The Russians put that Sputnik into outer space. The Dodgers played their last game at Ebbets Field and said goodbye to Brooklyn. That guy, he shot Frank Costello in the head and missed. And the Gallo brothers whacked Albert Anastasia in that barbershop in the Park Sheraton Hotel. It was total chaos. With Anastasia out of the way, Vito Genovese figures he's the big boss. But Carlo Gambino and Joe Bananas, they had other ideas. So they called a meeting. A big meeting.
A Harold Ramis film. 1950s cars travel along a country road. The leaves of the trees are jostled by the breeze and the sun shines brightly.
It was the first time the whole commission was ever going to meet face to face. Bosses and wise guys were coming in from all over the country, and all the New York families, too. Maybe 50 bosses, the whole wise guy world, all coming to this little town upstate.
The cars drive into Apalachin. A cow watches them from a grassy slope. Robert De Niro, Billy Crystal, Lisa Kudrow analyze this.
My father went up there with Don Manetta and Tommy D, Fat Tommy. He was running the family at the time. I don't know what anybody was thinking, but some asshole thought it would be a good idea to have this meeting at Joe Barbara's farm, somewhere up in the country, nice and quiet.
Get away from the car. Come
on. A guy pulls his gun on a cow.
Wanna be a fucking ribeye? Get away from the car!
The cow ambles off.
Turns out the local cops were watching Joe Barbara like a fucking hawk, and some deputy sheriff notices all the traffic and calls the feds.
The local sheriff on a police motorbike talks into his radio as he watches the mobster's cars file past. Red lights flashing, three police cars drive towards Joe's farm. Armed FBI agents emerge from the trees.
The meeting never even got started. The feds moved in, and bingo, the bosses, they moved out.
The mobsters pile out of the farmhouse via windows and doors. Two men escape onto the roof, leaping to the ground below. The suited mobsters race down the drive in a huddle, hurrying down stone steps and a grassy hillside. Chickens scuttle out of their path. A chubby guy waddles as fast as he can. Two men hurry through a field of maize.
My father and Dominic, they hid out in the field with some hay or corn, some kind of foliage, I don't know. Then along comes this farmer, so Dominic starts bullshitting the guy while my father hauls out this 44 cannon he used to carry and hijacks the goddamn tractor.
The driver's thrown to the ground.
The story is they drove it all the way back to Bensonhurst, but my father told me they only got as far as Poughkeepsie.
Dominic drives the tractor slowly forward, pointing into the distance.
Anyway, Carlo Gambino, he came out of a capital to the cop, boss of all bosses, and that was the last time this whole commission ever tried to meet. Until now.
The two mobsters drive straight through the field of maize in the tractor. Paul Vitti, a strong-faced, middle-aged man with dark hair, sits at a table in a restaurant with an older man.
I don't know, I don't like it. What do we gotta have a meeting for? Let everybody else worry about their own business.
Paul, the 57 meeting was about how we're gonna divide this country. This meeting is how we're gonna survive. You got made guys, informing for the feds. Bosses are going to jail. People are getting whacked without permission. And on top of everything else, you got these Chinese and these crazy Russians to deal with. Everything's changing. We gotta change with the times.
What are we gonna get, a fucking website?
Hey, when your papa died.
Dominic, the older man, taps his chest.
I made him a promise that I'll always look out for you. I want you to come to that meeting with me. Chebysh.
Paul nods and straightens, solemn-faced. The two men get to their feet, Dominic putting an arm on Paul's back as they leave the restaurant.
Listen, this guy Primo Sedone. You watch out for him. He's a scumbag. Keep your eye on him, okay?
One of Dominic's men steps out into the street. Dominic and Paul are about to follow.
We got a toothpick. Be right there.
All right.
Jelly, a burly guy, pulls Paul protectively to the floor of the restaurant as a van drives past, a gunman firing out of its open side. The restaurant's windows shatter. Bottles and glasses burst across the bar. A creamy gâteau is blown to pieces. Paul and Jelly take cover behind the bar. Out in the street, Dominic lies inert on the sidewalk. A large suburban house, in a tree-lined street. Inside, a middle-aged woman sits tearfully on a sofa.
I just kept telling him that I needed room to grow and to find myself as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Not just as a woman, but as an independent entity. And then I told him that I needed to get in touch with my uniqueness, but he could not handle that. He said that I was driving him away. He said I was driving him away. Do you think I was driving him away, Dr. Sobel?
The bearded doctor considers.
Caroline, things end. It's just a part of life. It's how we deal with things ending that's important.
I just cannot believe that it's over between me and Steve, you know? I mean, maybe there's still hope.
Well, he did take out a restraining order against you, and I have to be honest, that's usually not a good sign.
But what should I do?
Well,
he leans forward.
The first thing that I think that you should do is to stop whining about this pathetic loser, for Christ's sakes. You are a tragedy queen. Steve doesn't like me. Steve doesn't respect me. Who gives a shit? Get a fucking life!
Dr. Sobel actually sits lost in thought.
Dr. Sobel?
He looks at her.
Yes, I was just reflecting on your whole situation. It's very interesting what you were saying. So I want you to think about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to think about it. So we'll both think about it.
Okay.
And we will continue next week when I get back from my vacation.
Oh.
She covers her face with her hands.
Caroline, what are you feeling?
You're just like Steve. You just want to get rid of me and throw me out.
Now, Caroline, you know that's not true.
Yes, it's true.
I am going to see you next week, whereas Steve never wants to see you again.
Dr. Sobel closes his eyes, covering his mouth with his hand. In a deserted warehouse, a young guy is tied to a chair. Two men watch over him. Paul arrives with Jelly.
Please, Mr. VD, I told him I don't know nothing, but they don't believe me. Because at one time I said little Joe hit Dookie, and it turned out he didn't. But I didn't know because little Joe, he looked just like that.
Shut the fuck up!
Paul picks up a piece of pipe and approaches the guy in the chair.
You told me, right?
Yeah, Mr. V.
You know what I'm gonna do to you if you lie to me, right?
You're gonna crack me on the head with that pipe.
It's a rhetorical question, you fucking idiot.
I'm gonna ask you one time and one time only. Who killed Dominic?
Who killed Dominic?
I don't know!
Who killed Dominic?
I swear to God!
Don't fucking lie!
Cringing, the young guy turns his face away, waiting for the blow. He looks sideways at Paul, who stands with the pipe poised. Paul lowers the pipe, then wipes his mouth with the back of his hand. Paul tosses the pipe aside and walks away. Jelly looks surprised. The young guy looks relieved.
Well, that was relatively painless.
Shut the fuck up!
That hurt.
Dr. Ben Sobel is stuck in a traffic jam.
Look at this, we're not going anywhere. We have sat here for 10 minutes. We're so late. I hate being late. I hate walking into that house late.
Ed, relax.
Well,
I think you're reacting like this because you're mad that we have to go to Grandpa's party.
Please don't analyze me, okay? I can't be analyzed by somebody who up until a few years ago still believed in Santa. There is one Dr. Sobel in this family. Just one.
Yeah, but there's two. There's you and there's Grandpa.
You know what? Let's talk about something else, okay, buddy?
Okay. So, you gonna read Grandpa's new book? Mom says you're not going to because you're jealous.
Does your mother talk about anything else, or is it just me 24 hours a day? Shit! This is your mother's fault. It's like voodoo. She knows where I am every second.
The boot of the rammed car has popped open. Someone is tied up inside. One of the men from the warehouse appears.
I point to you, make with your knickers.
He closes the car boot.
What are you, some kind of moron?
I am sorry. This was all my fault.
Did you see anything?
I was talking to my...
Jelly.
That's all right, sir. It's okay.
It's our fault for being in front of you like that.
No, listen to me. I'm responsible, so let me give you my insurance information.
That's okay. Okay, forget about it.
Forget about it? Look, your rear end is all screwed up there.
No, it was like that before.
The other guy's taping up the boot.
Let's just call the police and file a report.
Fuck the police.
Ben looks nervous.
Okay.
Fuck him.
Right, you're right. Fuck him. Especially those mounted cops who leave the big piles all over the place and you're just stepping up to your shins, you know. Let me give you my card in case you look at the damage in the morning and you change your mind.
You a doctor?
I'm a psychiatrist.
Oh, a shrink.
I talked to a shrink one time. Huh? When I got sent upstate on a fishing trip.
Shelley, let's go. Come on.
I gotta go. I'll see you.
Jelly lumbers off. Ben stares after him. The captive is writhing around. Jelly whacks the side of the boot.
Things are nuts. Keep guess. What are you gonna do?
Right.
Take it easy, Doc.
Right.
Ben frowns as the car drives off, its boot securely taped down. A book, Tell Me What You Feel, Tell Me What You Want, by Dr. Isaac Sobel, is displayed on a table. Mustachioed Isaac is playing the piano.
Neurotics only! Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby. This baby, look at you now. Thank God for Prozac. Baby, look at you now.
Ben is talking to his grey-haired mother, Dorothy.
You're not coming? I mean, this is my wedding.
We understand it's a special day for you, Benny, but your father and I can't just pick up and leave town every time you decide to get married.
Every time? This is a once-in-a-lifetime, well, twice-in-a-lifetime thing, Mom. Dad, you're not coming to my wedding?
I want to be there, but I have three book signings next weekend. I can't piss off these big bookstores. If I cancel, they stick me down on the bottom shelves. That's the way they are.
I know, that's the word on the street. Barnes is okay, but that Noble is a vindictive prick.
Ben, the language.
I'm sorry, Mom, but listen, I have been alone for 8 years. I finally found somebody that I want to spend the rest of my life with. At least meet her before we get married. You are going to be her family. I think she should know that up front.
You're being very hostile tonight.
I was joking.
I think I'll go talk to the mayor.
The mayor is here?
Isaac.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Everything's fine.
How's your practice?
Excellent. I have interesting patients. Very interesting. Very interesting. Fascinating, actually.
Dad has a patient who dreams he shits trout.
Thanks, Mike.
In a bar.
The Mineta family is starting to ask questions. They think that we put the hit out on Dominic.
Forget Dominic. They're after Paul. I think it's a miracle you survived. You know, I just thank God.
Yeah, thank God, all right. If it wasn't because I had to go back for that toothpick because of the veal stuck in my tooth, I'd be lying there with Dominic right now. God forbid. May he rest in peace.
This is about the big meeting. Primo Sandone wants to run the whole show.
Primo's the boss. He knows the rules. He couldn't come after Dominic and Paul unless he had the permission from the other families.
If they did, we're headed for one big fucking walk, I tell you that. Talk to Zell and Belderza. Find out what you can. We got 2 weeks. God forbid the other New York bosses are against us. Yes. I want to know that before I go into that meeting.
Sure. Are you all right? Tell you the truth, you don't look too good.
What's the matter?
Yeah, I'm a little choked up. I'm going to get some air.
Take it easy.
His face contorted, Paul heads outside. Jelly and the other guy from the car, a thin-faced gangster, follow Paul into a street as the two mobsters at the bar watch curiously.
Paul, you all right?
Yeah, just...
What?
Agitated Paul looks around him.
I feel like shit. This whole thing is like one big fucking headache.
You ever wanted a migraine?
Paul clasps his hands to his chest.
Paul, what?
Jerry!
What's the matter?
Just drive the car.
My hat.
Paul, Jelly, and the thin-faced Jimmy all get in the car and it pulls away at speed. Later at the hospital, Jelly sits in a room with Paul, his legs crossed, testing his reflexes with a tiny hammer. A doctor comes in.
Good news, Miss Evans. Your heart is just fine.
It's fine. What do you mean, fine? I had like 8 heart attacks in the last 3 weeks.
Well, based on everything, I'd say you had an anxiety attack.
A what?
An anxiety attack, a panic attack. Don't worry, I can give you some Xanax.
An anxiety attack? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it's a common thing.
Hey, look at me. Do I look like a guy who panics?
Jelly stands up.
Well, it's
do I look like a guy who panics?
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Why'd you go to medical school, you stupid bastard? I got a fucking heart attack.
Not according to your EKG.
Jelly pulls the curtain across the window and door. Jimmy stands guard outside the door. Later, Paul, Jelly and Jimmy leave the hospital.
Jelly, listen. I need you to do something for me as a friend.
Yeah, anything.
I need you to find me a doctor.
Well, we just come for the doctor.
No, not that kind of doctor. Like a head doctor.
Gonna change your face like Sonny Black? Don't get his nose, though. Looks like a pig.
Not a plastic surgeon. What, I gotta spell everything out for you?
Ooh, saves time.
Paul gestures for Jimmy to stay back.
I need like a head doctor, like a psychiatrist.
Wow. This is like one of them psychic ESPN.
ESPN?
happy endings, you know? I just went into a psychiatrist. Well, actually, he ran into me.
Was he any good?
Yeah, he seemed like a smart guy. He had a business card and everything.
A business card? Wow, that's a real fucking achievement.
They go outside.
Yeah, but, what do you need a shrink for anyways?
It's not for me, it's for my friend. My friend's having some problems. I'm gonna ask the shrink some questions and get some answers for my friend.
And nobody can know, God forbid, somebody hears that I've been talking to a shrink. That's all I would need. You know, it could be interpreted the wrong way. You know what I mean?
No one will ever know. Could I just ask one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
This friend, is it me?
Paul looks into his eyes.
Yeah, it's you.
Carl, I'm detecting a pattern here. You seem to settle too easily for things.
You're right. I do.
So you just did it again. I suggested something, and you immediately agreed.
You're right, I did.
Why do you think you do this?
I don't know.
I think, Carl, it's your fear of rejection or fear of disapproval, but you don't have to worry about that. Be your own man. Stand your ground. You don't have to let people roll over you. Hey, I...
Dr. Sobel?
Excuse me, we're in session here.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
It's Jelly.
I know you. You're the guy I hit last night.
Bingo. Get out of here.
What?
Upsy-daisy. I've got a coat on the bar.
Hey, what are you doing?
He's leaving.
To hell he is. He's not going anywhere till he's done with the session.
I'll give you $100 to get out of here.
Don't take it, Carl.
Make it $150.
Listen to me, sir.
$300.
Carl.
You ain't that fucking crazy.
Doc, you were right. I stood my ground.
This was the wrong time.
But I got him up from $150.
I'm very proud of you.
I feel like a new man. Thank you.
I'm so happy. Listen, mister, I know you're upset about the car, but you can't come in here. This is a patient's private session.
Paul wanders in. Ben stares at him.
You know me?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Jelly closes the door as Paul paces the room.
You see my picture in the paper?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I don't even get the paper.
Ben shrugs. Paul glances over at Jelly by the door.
Jelly, wait outside. Sit down.
Ben sits obediently right on a box of tissues on a coffee table. He moves them out from under his bottom.
You ain't got no bugs in here, do you?
Bugs?
Bugs. Recording equipment.
No, I don't record. I take notes. Mr. Vitti, I tried to give your friend the insurance information several times last night. Seriously, several times. He wouldn't take it. Please don't kill me.
I'm just going to ask you if you like Tony Bennett.
Paul holds the CD.
Yeah, I'm a big Tony Bennett fan. Yeah.
Me too.
I like all Italian singers. Mr. Vitti, I know it's not your fault, but don't you think we should just take this up with our insurance companies?
Forget about that. It ain't about that. I don't care about the car. I got a friend of mine. This friend of mine, he's like got problems, and he's going to have to probably see a shrink. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Oh, well, go ahead.
So what do we do? We sit.
Whatever makes you comfortable.
Yeah, okay, I'll sit okay. Over here.
The two men almost bump.
Comfortable. It's fine.
Paul sits in Ben's brown leather chair. Ben sits stiffly on the green armchair meant for his patients.
All right, so who starts?
Why don't you tell me why you think you need therapy?
I don't need therapy. I just told you that. It's for my friend.
I'm sorry.
You didn't hear me say that?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, you guys, you're supposed to be so good at listening, you can't even remember what I said to you 2 seconds ago.
So sorry.
I gotta tell you, Doc, I ain't that thrilled with the level of service up to this point.
That was my fault. I apologize.
Yeah.
Why don't we start over and... Why don't you just tell me about your friend?
Paul shifts forward in his seat.
His friend, you know, he's a very powerful guy. Never had trouble dealing with nothing. Now all of a sudden he's like falling apart. He cries for no reason. He can't sleep. He can't be with his friends. All of a sudden he gets nervous around them. He wants to get away from them. And these are guys he knows his whole life, you know? It's like, and then he has, like, these, like, attacks, you know? He can't breathe. It's like, gets dizzy, chest pains, you know? He thinks he's going to die or something.
Panic attacks.
What's up with you guys and all this fucking panic attack? Who said panic? Who said panic?
Not panic. Dizzy, chest, breathing, constricting.
Yeah.
Attacks.
Yeah. This guy just wants to know what he can do to make it stop.
Mr. Vitti, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think your friend is you.
Yo. You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a fucking gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, you do. Go on.
What?
Go on.
Oh, I think medication could help.
Drugs? Mm-hmm. Can't do drugs. I don't do drugs.
Well, if you really want to get to the root of the problem, you're going to want to get some form of therapy.
Well, what, like with you or something, or?
Me? I don't think you want. My roster of patients is full. I'm just full right now. So, plus, I'm leaving on a short vacation.
Where are you going?
I don't share that with my patients.
Where are you going?
Sheraton Bell Harbor Hotel in Miami Beach.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
No, it wasn't.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but, you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like a load. A load is off my shoulders. You're good.
I...
Doc, thank you.
Mr. Vitti, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something.
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. Nah. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to be getting in touch with you.
Don't, please.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I go fag, you die. Got it?
Got it.
Simple. Mm-hmm. Huh? You're good, Doc. You're good. See you, Doc.
You know, I don't understand something. We take our Minetta. What does Vitti do? Nothing. I mean, why doesn't he move?
Fuck him.
Yeah, you say fuck him, but I'm telling you something. He's planning something big. This shit's really gonna come down.
Well, then let it come down. Let me tell you something. Vitti's a tough guy, but a lot of tough guys got fed to the crabs off Red Hook over the years. Vitti. That name has been haunting me since I was a kid. The whole time growing up, he was the smart guy, I was the dope. My father was a nickel and dime shitheel. His father had it all. Let me tell you something. Vito Genovese blew it at Appalachian. You want to know why? Because he forgot to kill Gambino before the meeting. I won't make that same mistake. I want Paul Vitti dead. You hear me? I want him dead. Not breathing now. Dead.
Okay.
You like these pants?
They look great on you. This guy's some fucking tell. I'll tell you that now. Look good.
I like him.
Michael? I hope you didn't leave any food in your room. I don't want to come home to a science fair.
I didn't. Oh, Dad, one thing, though.
Yeah?
I go fag, you die.
That's it. I am sealing up the vent in your room. You cannot listen to my sessions.
Dad, it's so cool. Was that really Paul Vitti?
Well, I didn't ask to see his Mafia decoder ring, but yes, it was Paul Vitti.
Are you going to treat him?
No, of course not. What, are you crazy? And Michael, you cannot tell anybody that he was here. Do you understand that?
Should I take it off the internet?
What, Michael?
I'm kidding.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Despite the summer heat and the popularity of more exotic Caribbean destinations, Florida's hospitality industry reports booming business from Orlando to the Keys. So judging from the mob scene around the pool here today, I'd say there's nothing off about the off-season in Miami Beach this summer. Now, on a personal note, this is my last report for WBBF. I'm getting married to a wonderful man, and I'm moving to New York. Thanks for everything, Miami. For the last time, this is Laura McNamara for WBBF. Catch!
Claire, nice, Laura.
Okay. Ben!
Thanks, everybody.
Hi.
Oh. Hey, everybody, this is him. This is the guy.
Hi.
Oh, I missed you so much.
I miss you, too. Hey, Michael, say hi.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Michael. How are you?
She hugs him.
Michael, maybe you want to go look at the camera?
Why would I want to go look at the camera? Oh, yeah. Yeah, is it okay? Yeah, go ahead. Don't worry if you break anything, you know, I'm out of here. You think he likes me?
Oh, he's crazy about you. No, he is. And I love you. I'm so glad to be with you.
Do you really, really? And do you really love me?
Of course. What's the matter?
I'm nervous.
Why?
Well, cuz, I'm gonna be a stepmom to a grown kid, and,
yeah,
and we're getting married.
Yeah, so what are you worried about?
Well, what if you get tired of me? You know, I mean, a lot of couples are very happy, and then they get married and completely lose interest in each other.
That's not gonna happen to us.
No.
Is everything okay, Pa?
We just stopped talking. I'm trying to do this here.
You seem a little distracted.
I am distracted. I got things in my mind. We just stopped talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why don't you lie down? Come on. Were you thinking about your wife?
I wasn't thinking about my wife. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Oh, I am thinking about my wife. God damn it, Sheila. Why can't you keep your mouth shut?
Sorry.
Psst. Dr. Sobel. Psst. Dr. Sobel.
Mom?
Dr. Sobel.
Mom?
It's me. Mr. Vitti wants to see you. I got your rope.
Hey, I got news for you, you little two-bit prick, son of a bitch, rat bastard. You did nothing for me. Whatever you did the other day, it didn't take. I'm still fucked up. You did fucking nothing for me.
I did nothing for you? Really? I saw you for 5 minutes. What do you expect? You know, I can't work miracles, Mr. Vitti. And let me tell you something else. I do not appreciate it when somebody breaks into my hotel room and kidnaps me in the middle of the night. I have a family, I have a life, and I have a serious practice. And I don't have time for your bullshit! That got away from me at the end there.
I couldn't get it up last night.
Do you mean sexually?
No, I mean for the big game against Michigan State. Of course sexually. What the fuck's the matter with you?
You know, can I just get this straight? You flew 1,500 miles. You dragged me out of bed in the middle of the night just because you couldn't get an erection?
Don't that prove I'm motivated?
You know, you can take a pill for that.
Nah, that's a cheat. You start with the pills, next thing you know, you're putting in hydraulics. A hard-on should be gotten legitimately, or she'll be gotten at all.
I think Mark Twain said that, didn't he?
Are you going to help me or not?
I don't believe this. Okay. Has this ever happened to you before?
What, the dead dick thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, never. Well, one time last night. And one more time.
So twice?
Do the math, two times. And then there was another time, but it was after a big meal, so you know, that don't count.
I have to say, being unable to perform three or four times is not...
Eight times.
Eight times is not catastrophic.
Well, maybe not to you. Look at you. But if I can't get it up, that makes me less of a man, and I can't have that. In my world, I deal with animals, Doctor. They may seem dumb to an educated guy like you, but make no mistake about it, Doctor. Animals are very cunning, and they sense weakness.
Okay.
I got less than 2 weeks to get stronger. They're going to eat me up if they don't kill me in the meantime.
What happens in 2 weeks?
I can't tell you, and you don't want to know.
You can't tell me, and I don't want to know. Well, that's a big help, isn't it? No, you're supposed to tell me, because I do want to know. That's how this works. This is impossible. This is not going to work. First of all, I couldn't do anything in 2 weeks. And even if I could, what is my goal here? To make you a happy, well-adjusted gangster?
Look, the other day, I was watching a TV commercial, some kid playing with a couple of puppies. I cried for 45 minutes. You slap a pair of tits on me, I'm a woman.
I can't help you.
You're turning me down?
When I got into family therapy, this was not the family I had in mind. Yes, I'm turning you down.
You with your schmucky little office and your schmucky little house out there in Schmuckville, you're turning me down? For what? So you can listen to housewives piss and moan about nobody fucks them right anymore? Huh?
I'm leaving now.
Look, guys, you see this? This is what I'm talking about. I'm a dead man. Oh, you call yourself a doctor. You should be ashamed of yourself. A real doctor can never turn his back on a person who's suffering. You can treat a fucking two-celled amoeba, you fucking phony. Oh, but oh God, give me the strength to get through this. Get this fucking rat bastard will help me.
Oh,
I cry all the time, and I cry. Is that all it is? Oh, Jesus.
Sit down. Sit down. So, what happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're going to stop moralizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things whatever I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
All right. Have you been under a lot of stress lately?
Have you seen your best friend murdered?
That would qualify?
Yeah, I got a lot of stress.
Well, you know, based upon what you told me before about the attacks, I'd say that that was probably it then.
What, just stress?
Just stress? Stress is a very powerful force. I doubt if there's anything physically wrong with you.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
I think so.
You.
No.
No, you. You're very good, you.
No.
You are very good,
there's
you.
A lot more to it than that.
You're very good, you.
There are underlying things
you understand
that you
me? No, you're right. You're right on the money. I can feel the juices rushing back in my balls as we speak.
Well, that's something I never thought I'd hear another man say to me.
That settles it. You are my shrink.
Oh, no. I couldn't miss the video. You're not ready for this. You're not ready to open up. You're not a good candidate.
Listen
for
to you. What? The fucking honesty. That's it. You don't understand. Nobody talks to me like that. You understand? You understand?
Yes, I do.
That's it. Let's do it. I'm ready.
You don't hear the word no very often, do you?
I hear it all the time, only it's more like, no, please, no.
I'm here for 2 more days. When I get back to New York, I will treat you exclusively. Okay, for 2 weeks. I just have to figure out what I'm going to tell my other patients.
You want me to clear your schedule for you?
Oh, no.
I would be my honor to do that.
No,
my pleasure.
No.
Jimmy!
No, not Jimmy. I will do this myself.
You sure?
Yes, positive. I will see you in New York.
Okay. You want one of them?
Pointing at 2 women.
Sure. That's very kind of you, but I...
Want to give a little stomach ink?
No, thanks. Yeah. No.
You sure?
Ben waves at them.
Positive refreshes.
I don't know. I'm really...
You're on vacation.
I'm also about to get married, so I'd like to go back to my hotel and... Good night, Miss V. I'll see you in New York.
You. Hey, Doc. You. I'm going to see a lot of you.
Ben! Where were you? My God, I woke up and you were just gone. There was no note or anything. I was out of my mind. I walked all over the hotel looking for you. I even ate a Rice Krispie treat. I almost called the police.
No. Don't call the police. Listen, I will tell you the truth. I had a patient emergency.
You have patients in Florida?
One. He followed me from New York, actually. I had to go. Trust me.
Oh my God, who is this patient?
Paul Vitti.
Paul Vitti? Paul Vitti?
Yeah.
Mafia Paul Vitti?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
Listen, it's not like he's a regular patient. He's got problems.
Well, yeah.
He thinks that I'm treating him. It's crazy.
So you're not treating him?
No.
Okay, tell me you're not treating him.
I'm not treating him.
Because it's too scary. You don't want someone like that in your life. Okay, you don't. I've covered the mob down here. I've seen what they do.
He and I spoke about it. He understood. It's over.
You're sure?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, I was so worried. I thought maybe you got scared or saw an ex-girlfriend or something.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
No. I love you.
I love you.
Oh, I'm sorry, but everything's gonna be okay. Give her a big hand.
Great. Oh, come on, get into it.
I don't understand. They splash in the water. They eat fish. This is not a big stretch for a whim.
Stop it. We're having fun, right?
Actually, I'm not having as much fun as it looks like I am. I'm pretending, you know, because we have the bombs and everything.
Right.
I'm hungry. I want to get something to eat, like a hot dog. Anybody want anything?
I'll go with you.
No, it's fine. You're pretending to have a good time, and I don't want to spoil that. I'll be right back.
You think those whales pissed in that water?
No. I think they used the men's room next door to the Burger King. Dummy.
Hey, what is going on here?
Mr. Vitti wants to see you.
Is this a joke?
No. Hey, you're an employee of Mr. Vitti, which means that you're on call 24 hours a day, just like the rest of us.
No. I'm sorry. He and I discussed this, and I agreed we were going to see him when I got back to New York. So that's it. Goodbye.
Dr. Mama, look, listen to me. It is what it is. If he wants you sooner, you go soon.
No.
That's it. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I am not going. And if either one of you bother me again, I won't treat him at all. Do you understand that? Capish? It's over. End of story.
Look at the size of this motherfucker. Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on. It's feeding time.
They threw me in the shark tank, Paul. The shark tank.
Hey, they were trying to make a point.
What, that you're a scary guy? Believe me, I get it.
You're in a mood, aren't you?
I tend to get that way when a shark tries to chew on my ass. I thought that we had an agreement.
We did, but I had an episode. I didn't have an actual panic attack, but I started panicking a little, thinking I might get an attack. Does that sound weird?
So I am redefining weird on an hourly basis.
What's he doing?
I don't know what he's doing. He's talking with some guy.
Did you hit him?
No way. He's got that fat jelly and his partner, Jimmy Boots, with him. I could take him out with a rifle and a scope, but I don't have any of that shit with me.
No, just get him.
Don't sweat it. You told me to take care of him? I'll take care of him.
What were you thinking about when you started to get anxious?
Let's get out of here. We're being watched. Don't look. Don't look. This fed's up on the hotel watching us.
How do you know that?
I'm a criminal. It's my job.
Who's the new face anyway?
Well, maybe he's Vinny's new consigliere.
Whoever this guy is, he must be important to the family. Put his picture on the wire and see what you come up with.
You know, normally a patient wouldn't have a vat of scotch during a session.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting fact I'm going to have to remember if I'm ever on Jeopardy.
Tell me about your father.
My father. Well, my father. I'm going to sit here.
Mm-hmm.
My father. He was a big man in the neighborhood. Everybody loved him. Very well respected. God rest his soul.
Oh, he passed away?
No, I just like saying God rest his soul. Of course he passed away. I was about 12 at the time.
Mm-hmm. How did he die?
It was a sudden thing, a heart attack.
What was the relationship like? Were you very close?
Yeah, you know, we were pretty close. We weren't getting along that great right then.
Why is that?
I was hanging out in the neighborhood at a Bugatti.
What is that?
Like a kid gang, hooligan shit. Nothing big, but he didn't like that. So
he didn't approve?
Nah, he slapped me around a couple of times.
And, and what?
And then he died.
Hmm. How did that make you feel?
It felt great. It was a wonderful feeling. How to make me feel? What do I know?
Think about it. Were you angry? Were you afraid? Sad?
Maybe all those things.
Any feelings of guilt?
About what? I didn't kill him.
I know that, but I'm just speculating, Paul, that maybe in some way you may have wanted him to die.
Why would I want my father to die?
Well, you said that you were fighting. He slapped you around because you were rebelling against his authority. There may have been some unresolved Oedipal conflict.
English.
Oedipus was a Greek king who killed his father and married his mother.
Fucking Greeks.
It's an instinctual developmental drive. The young boy wants to replace his father so that he can totally possess his mother.
What are you saying? That I wanted to fuck my mother?
But no, it's a primal fantasy.
Have you ever seen my mother?
Paul,
are you out of your fucking mind?
It's Freud.
Well, then Freud's a sick fuck, and you are too for bringing it up.
It's... Can I be honest? I don't think I can call you Dad, so... What do I call you? Do I call you Scott?
My friends call me Captain.
Captain?
Yeah, Captain.
Captain.
Do you want another drink? Because I'm definitely having 8 or 9.
Yeah, I'd like a morphine and soda. Shaky.
Shall we go to our table? Come on, Michael.
Hey, Senor Sobo.
Ah, how you doing?
Hey,
hi, honey, it's the Vitis.
My God. Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. This is nice.
You, Paul Vitti, the mobster.
Now, is that polite? Huh? Is that being nice? I'm trying to be nice over here. I mean, do I walk up to you and say you're so-and-so to hot on?
Huh? This is Laura's father, the captain.
I'm very, very sorry. Excuse us.
I heard about the wedding. Here you go. A little something for bride and groom. God bless.
We can't accept this.
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
I'm just going to borrow this guy for a few minutes. I'll bring him right back.
And then you'll leave us alone.
I'm going to leave you alone. He'll be right back. Come on, I got to talk to you.
This...
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Jelly, wait over there. Don't listen to what we say.
My ears are sealed. This really, really weird dream last night.
I feel like I'm having one right now. Why did you interrupt my party?
You know, you're really very rigid about certain things. Did you know that?
Okay. All right. Tell me about your dream.
Okay. I'm asleep. I hear a baby crying. I go to the refrigerator. I get him a bottle of milk. I bring the bottle of milk to him. I see the milk is black.
That's fucking weird.
All right, get out of here. Get out of here.
Sorry.
Okay, what does that mean? I don't want to hear any more filth about my mother.
I don't know what it means. What does it mean to you?
This is what I'm paying you for. I say something to you, you say it right back to me. I can get Jelly to do that for nothing. What are we doing over here?
Get Jelly. I'm going back to my party.
All right, Doc. Okay, I'm letting it go this time. Because you get married, I'm gonna let it go. Hey, why don't you look over that way before I bust your fucking head off?
Jesus.
In a hotel corridor, Jack.
Hey, guys.
I'm gonna grab a bite to eat.
You want, like, a sandwich or something?
What kind of sandwich ain't too fattening?
I have a sandwich. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right.
Nod your head and smile. Do it. Now you listen to me, Goomba. I know what your game is, and you better call it quits. Because if you and your bisons ever do anything to hurt that little girl of mine, I don't care who your friends are, I'll hunt you down like the dog you are, and I'll kill you. Understand? Now nod and smile. Congratulations.
What was that all about?
Just guy stuff between me and the captain.
Bet on that.
All right.
It's their land. Don't you try to put them off. It's my land, and don't you forget it. And this is my land. We'll do one thing or the other.
Wouldn't want to see that at all. That is
and in health, from this day forth, as long as you both shall live,
I...
Call Mike and tell him to bring Marie and the kids right to the airport. Get those bags in the car right away. Tell the guys to pull the car in the back and all tell them wait for us.
You got it, boss.
That's it. That is it. I have had it with you.
What happened?
What happened? I just saw a man fall seven stories into a platter of poached salmon. That's what happened.
Did you break anything?
Yes, everything. They're still pulling capers out of his forehead.
Hey, people get depressed. They jump, you know. It's a human tragedy. But it ain't my fault.
Oh, now you're gonna tell me it was a suicide?
I think he left a note. Shelly, did they find that note?
No, but they will in a minute.
Oh, let me guess what it says. Life is bullshit. I can't fucking take it no more. Signed, the dead guy.
Hey, that's good, Doc.
Enough with the talk. We gotta get out of here. There's feds all over the place. I'm going back to New York. And I would suggest that you do the same thing, Doc. Because they're probably onto you, too, right now.
Onto me? What are you talking about? Hey, listen, being an accessory to a murder was not part of our understanding.
What are you breaking my balls for? I didn't kill nobody. I can't speak for other people in the room, but that guy tried to kill me. God forbid he did that to somebody in my family, one of my kids. It would have been like a double or a triple tragedy. Trust me, Doc, in this case, we're the good guys.
Where is he?
Wait a minute. Where you going?
Don't touch me. How could you do that?
Another country heard from. Gotta go.
Honey, maybe you should wait downstairs.
Why? Why? Are they gonna throw me off the balcony, too?
You're upset, and you're upsetting me.
Well, of course I'm upset! My wedding is ruined because you've got problems.
I got problems.
Honey, please.
All right, I'm going downstairs to pack, and then I'm going to New York. And I am getting married, with you or without you.
With? I'm sorry, honey. It'll all work out, I promise. Please.
All right. No, I hate you.
Are you happy, huh? Are you happy? You know what you did? You have ruined my life.
Happy? What are you talking about? As if you think I wanted this? I mean, I'm a victim over here.
I can't believe what this guy. First he tries to kill me, then he whacks one of my guys. Then on top of that, he fucks up your wedding. You know how upset I am about this?
I'm so fucking enraged, I don't know what to do with myself. And plus, I'm trying to get out of this fucking hotel, and you're breaking my balls.
Are you listening to yourself? Listen to yourself! I knew this would happen. This has been one big disaster from the moment you stepped foot in my office. That is it. Over! I'm no longer your doctor.
Just because of this?
Because of this little double homicide? Yes, because of this. You don't have a shred of human decency. Not a shred. What was I thinking? I actually thought that I could help you. But there's no helping you because you're a common thug. Nobody in the world could help you.
All right, what do you want me to do? Yo.
Yeah, let me speak to Primo.
Hold on. Paul Vitti's on the phone, Primo.
Vitti?
Vitti.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is this?
It's me.
Me who?
Me who?
Me who?
Me, you know me, me.
Yeah, how's it going?
Not good. Whoever did that thing to you know who, that good friend of mine, they're trying to do that to me now. And I'm having a lot of feelings about that. And I'm trying to get some...
Closure
on that. You know?
What kind of feelings?
I'm very angry. I'm feeling very angry about that. I'm really enraged. I'm feeling very, very mad about that.
Yeah, so why are you telling me?
Why am I telling you? Like, you don't know nothing about it? Huh?
I don't know what
you
you're
don't
talking
know nothing.
About.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, whatever. I'm just trying to
tell you
about my feelings and that
I'm angry
and that anger is a
blocked wish.
A blocked wish.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you next week at that thing, and
then I can unblock that angered wish. And then hopefully you make one more move on me, you motherfucker. I'll fucking cut your fucking balls off. I'll shove them up your fucking ass. I'll fucking bury you. I'll put fucking ice picks in your eyes. I'll chop your fucking eyeballs. I'll send them to your fucking family so they can eat them for dessert. You understand me?
Hey, Paul.
What?
Fuck you.
You motherfucker!
You get a dictionary and find out what this closure is. If that's what he's going to hit us with, then I want to know what it is.
Yeah. How was that?
It was going great until the cutting off of the balls and shoving it up his ass. You know what I do when I'm mad, Paul? I hit a pillow. Just hit the pillow. See how you feel.
Ben grabs a gun and shoots at a pillow. Feathers flutter.
There's your fucking pillow.
Feel better?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Smell.
Call the Vatican. See if something is missing.
So cool. Michael, I need to talk to your dad in private, thank you.
Mike, would you unload the car, please?
It's almost as tall as the house.
Mike?
All right. What is going on?
What
is this?
A note.
Why? Oh.
It's a wedding gift. He felt bad for the...
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're not married, so we can just send it back. Okay?
Send it back? It was not my fault. I mean, everybody was there. We were ready to go. You didn't want to go ahead with the ceremony.
Well, what did you expect? That's not what I want for an anniversary memory. Honey, let's look at our wedding video. Look, your parents, they're my parents. Oh, there's the guy that plunged to his death.
I just want to marry you.
He puts an arm around her.
I'm starting to think that's never going to happen.
Of course, it's happening next Saturday at the Waldorf.
And who's going to be there?
Three of us, clergymen, and any of your family members who are done with their crisis counseling.
And no guests without necks, okay? Everybody has to have a neck.
We will do a neck check at the door.
Thank you.
The three of them go inside.
Now listen, any furniture you want to change in the house is...
Oh, no!
Dr. Sobel, ma'am. I'm Agent Stedman, Agent Ricci, Agent Provano, Federal Bureau of Investigation, OCD.
Obsessive compulsive disorder?
Organized crime division. We need to talk.
FBI? This is cooler than the fountain.
Michael, go to your room.
But I just...
Go to your room.
Fine, I could hear better in there anyway.
Michael stomps out.
Please.
Agent Stedman gestures for Laura and Ben to sit. They do so.
Can you explain these photographs, Dr. Sobel?
They're the ones the FBI took of Ben walking on the beach in...
I'm a psychotherapist. Paul Vitti is my patient.
Was your patient?
Was my patient.
Yeah, but not even like a patient.
Right, exactly.
So why did he send you that fountain?
That was a gift to celebrate the completion of the therapy. Listen, I got a television set from a kleptomaniac, so it's not really that big of a deal. It's not unusual.
Let me cut to the chase, Dr. Sobel. Sometime in the next week or so, the heads of every major crime family in the United States are going to meet somewhere in the New York area.
We think the stage is set for a major bloodbath. Has he mentioned anything about it to you?
A bloodbath?
No. No, he has not mentioned anything like that. I would have remembered that. You know, bloodbath is something that, you know, sticks out in a conversation.
You could really help us out by supplying information about that meeting.
If I don't?
If you don't, I will personally make your life a living hell.
Paulie, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. Now, you know I was a good friend to your father. I'll always be a good friend to you. The word is out that you're talking to a shrink. Is that right?
What's the point here?
The point is, this concerns the whole family. Right now, we're the only ones that know about it. If this ever gets out in the street, what then? And who knows what you're saying to this guy?
It ain't nobody's fucking business what I'm saying to this guy.
I beg to differ. If you're looking to establish an insanity plea for later on, that's okay. But everybody's gonna think that you're falling apart. It's not right. They're gonna think this is a sign of weakness. And Sandor will take over everything. Is that what you want?
So what do you want me to do?
It's time to end it, Paul.
What do you mean end it?
Get rid of the shrink. He knows too much already.
What, you want me to whack my doctor? Are you crazy?
Paul, if you don't do it, somebody else will. That's the way it is.
Nobody touches this guy. Anybody lays a finger on him, I'll kill him. Understood? Papa.
Papa!
From the heart, we'd all be better off. Let me see your watch.
Let me see your watch.
Piece of junk. You're getting a Rolex.
Don't buy me a Rolex.
Don't say anything about buying it.
Paul, listen, I really have to talk to you. Who is that?
It's Tommy Angels. We grew up together. Worked for a crew out of Jersey City.
How did he die?
All right.
Paul and Ben stand.
Way to talk to a federal prosecutor. Got hit by a truck. Twice.
I don't need to know this. I can't hear this.
They sit down.
This is too much for me. I'm having nightmares myself. The other night I dreamed that you and I were walking down the street together, and I stopped to buy some fruit. And then I don't know where two guys come, and they kill me. Like Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
They stand again.
Good scene. What'd I do?
You drop your gun. You run up to me, and you yell, Papa, Papa.
I was Fredo.
I don't think so.
They sit again.
You're starting to lose it, Doc. You may need therapy yourself.
But we really have to talk. All right. This is it.
They stand again.
We're running out of time.
The priest and two choir boys pass, followed by the coffin, which is wheeled by six dark-suited men. A blonde woman, all in black, walks behind the coffin. Paul steps up to her and kisses her on both cheeks.
The widow.
I'm very sorry.
A pretty young brunette.
A daughter.
A short man whom Paul kisses.
Brother.
Ben shakes his head.
Condolences.
A taller, burly man, he steps up to Ben.
Very sorry.
He kisses an awkward Ben on each cheek, hugging him several times. Ben stands stiffly as he's patted hard on the back with each embrace. He stands with his hands firmly at his sides as the burly man goes. Ben turns questioningly to Paul.
Him, I don't know.
Ben glances after the man and, unsmiling, wipes his cheek before turning to Paul.
Can we talk now?
Paul and Ben walk, followed by Jelly and Jimmy. Ben glances their way. Paul gestures for them to stay back.
Paul, don't you see? You called me Papa. This is all about your father.
That's your dream.
Yes, it was. But the black milk dream is also about your father.
I don't buy that. My dream, I'm bringing the baby to black milk.
Yes, but Freud believed that you're everyone in your dreams.
Hey, fuck Freud. After what you told me, you know what? I'm afraid to call my mother on the telephone.
Listen, just try to go with me here. Let's just say that you are the baby. What kind of milk did your father bring you?
Could we stop talking about my father, please?
No, that's exactly the point. We have to start talking about your father, Paul. It is so hard to deal with. You know what you're like? This is what you're like. Hey, Doc, you gotta help me. I'm in pain here. Please help me. All right, Paul, I'll help you. Fuck you. Nobody helps Paul Vitti.
All right, very good. This is you. Oh, that's interesting. What does that mean to you? Anger is a blocked wish. Who fucking hoo hoo? Hey, let's see how you like it. Let's talk about your father.
Let's not.
What kind of work's your father do?
It's not important.
What? You paused.
I did not.
You just paused. That means you had like a feeling, like a thought. What did your father do? What's your father do?
He's a psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist?
Yes.
Oh, now I know why you're fucked up. Next patient, please.
You know, we are running out of time. Let's not waste it talking about my problems.
Your father's a problem?
No.
That's what you just said.
I did not.
Well, now you're upset.
I am not upset.
Yes, you are.
Will you stop it?
You know what? I'm getting good at this.
Paul, we only have a few days left. This is very important stuff. That's why you're acting like this. If you want to spend it screwing around, I can't help you. Call me when you want to get serious.
I am serious.
Ben goes.
Hey, don't you want to analyze me no more? Doc.
Ben turns back.
Say hello to your father for me.
Ben walks away. The feds are listening to a recording of Paul's conversation with the bespectacled mobster.
It's time to end it, Paul.
What do you mean, end it?
Get rid of the shrink. He knows too much already.
Well, you want me to whack my doc? Are you crazy?
Well, if you don't do it, somebody else will. That's the way it is.
Nobody touches this guy. Anybody lays a finger on him, I'm gonna kill him. Understood?
And let's hear the other one.
Well, you want me to whack my doctor?
Well, if you don't do it, somebody else will. That's the way it is.
I'm gonna kill him.
Stedman's men nod.
Good.
That's very good.
At Ben's house.
We think it's time to end it.
What do you mean, end it?
Get rid of the shrink. He knows too much already.
You want me to whack my doctor?
Well, if you don't do it, somebody else will. That's the way it is.
I'm gonna kill him.
Ben looks up fearfully, Laura sitting close beside him.
What do you want me to do?
Stedman holds up a wire, pauses with the bespectacled mobster.
Paul, he's talking to the feds.
Listen, I know this guy. He wouldn't talk to the feds. No way.
The FBI was over his house today. Jimmy Boots saw him.
You saw him there?
It's the truth. I saw him.
You'll see. Next, he'll get a call, and he'll want a meeting.
Hey, Paul.
Jelly comes over.
Dr. Sobel called. He said he needs to see you right away.
Paul looks up at the bespectacled mobster. Night, in a restaurant, Ben sits at a table with Paul, Jimmy, and Jelly eating a bowl of spaghetti.
This is delicious. This is so good. I love Italian food. I've never been to Italy. Is it great? I was in France twice, and Jamaica. The island? You ever been there? Well, that's great, because I love to snorkel. Have you guys ever snorkeled? Oh, it's great to sleep with the fish. Swim with the fish. Have you ever done that?
Oh, it's good.
So, what are you guys gonna do this summer?
About what?
A tall man saunters over.
Hey, Carlo.
Hey, how are you?
Paul kisses him on each cheek.
Jelly. Good, Jimmy.
This is
Ben, say hello to Carlo.
Hi, Carlo. How you doing?
Carlo.
That's it.
Grab a seat. Carlo pulls up a chair and sits.
Carlo and I grew up together. It's like, I would say, almost like a cousin to me.
Oh, I am your cousin.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's a family thing. It's like the closeness.
Anything he needs, anything I do for him, he knows I'm here for him. You know that.
I know. So did you take care of that thing I asked you about?
It's all right to talk business in front of your friend?
It's okay.
I took care of it.
What about the other thing?
I gotta wait for the first thing to come through before I can move on the second thing.
Did that guy give you a problem?
The guy in the first thing?
Yeah.
He's a lunatic.
What do you say?
The usual.
So you tell him you weren't going for it?
What am I gonna do, Paul?
You gotta get that shit right in the butt.
But if the first thing comes through, then I'll fix everything.
Exactly. Including the second thing.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Listening, the feds are bemused.
Don't repeat what you hear here. Hear?
What, the first thing or the second thing?
Very funny.
Stevie Beef is over there.
Fat piece of shit.
Rat fucking cocksucking
scumbag.
Garbage pail. Let's go say hi.
All right.
Paul and Carlo go.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
So, this is a very unusual place. Do you guys come here often?
Well, this place has a very special meaning for Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, it's where his father got whacked.
Hey.
Ben looks up wide-eyed.
Well, what's the big secret?
Never mind.
Wait a second. Paul's father was murdered?
Right at that table with his whole family there.
Shut your face.
Ben looks over at an Italian family eating at a table nearby.
Paul was there too.
Ben looks thoughtful.
He doesn't like to talk about it.
A troubled-looking Ben lets this sink in, then dabs his mouth with a napkin before standing up.
Oh, where are you going?
I have to go to the bathroom.
Sit down. I'll go with you.
Jelly escorts Ben to the bathroom. Ben steps towards a cubicle. Jelly sticks with him.
Jelly, I have to, you know...
Poop?
Yeah.
Ben smiles weakly and steps into the cubicle as Jelly goes to a urinal. As he hums, Ben unbuttons his shirt, then grimaces as he prepares to remove the wire which is taped to his chest. Jelly looks round. Jelly steps up to the sink.
Holy shit!
Jelly shakes his head.
You gotta get more roughage, Doc.
Wow!
Brain muffin in the morning would help that.
Primo paces in his office looking at the paper.
I don't believe this. I'd like to see a movie, but there's nothing out there. It's all this shoot 'em up action bullshit. I get enough of that at work.
The guy with the high forehead.
Primo, that was our friend. He spotted that guy at Peretti's restaurant.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Handsome Jack. Let's make it his last supper, all right?
You got it, Primo.
No problem. Hey, Jack, just for fun, tear out his heart and bring it to me.
I'm gonna bring it back down a fucking platter, Primo. Not a platter.
Where are we gonna get a platter?
Just bring it, all right?
At the restaurant.
Or Raisin Bran. That goes right through me. It's a pusher.
Good tip. Have to talk to you in private.
Paul looks up.
Unless.
Carlo and Jelly go. Ben sits with Paul.
Why didn't you tell me about your father?
What about him?
You told me he died of a heart attack.
So, what's the problem?
What's the problem? Your father was murdered.
Murdered, heart attack. What's the difference? He's dead.
It's a big difference. Why didn't you tell me?
Because it's private. I gotta tell you every little thing.
This is not a little thing.
What am I gonna do? Spend the rest of my life crying about the past? That's over. Forget about it.
You know what I think? I think you want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
No, I think you do.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Why did you choose this restaurant?
Because I like it. That's why.
Of all the places we could have gone, why this place?
White Clamps was the best.
That's not the reason. We're here because you want me to know about your father. You're reaching out to me.
Yeah, I'm reaching out to you.
He rips open Ben's shirt.
Fuck it.
Finding nothing, he pats his hands over Ben's torso, then sinks back in his chair. Later, Jelly escorts Ben out to Paul's car. Jimmy opens the door for him.
Get in the car.
Ben hesitates.
You know, it's getting late. I'll just take a cab. You know, I can get up to Grand Central and, you know what? I can make the 11:10, so thanks anyway.
I said, get in the car, Doc.
Jimmy flashes his gun. Paul.
What he says.
Ben looks worried.
You know, this is what we call a transference neurosis. It's where the patient...
Paul slams his door.
Okay. Get in the car.
Ben gets in the car, which does a U-turn in the road, then drives away. Another car pulls out of a side street and follows it. In the back of their surveillance van, Stedman, Provano and Ricci look puzzled.
What? What is this guy doing today? He's been in the bathroom for half an hour. Oh, fuck!
Get over there!
The bald-headed Stedman charges into the men's bathroom in the restaurant and heads into the cubicle Ben used. He finds the wire behind the toilet.
Son of a bitch!
He talks into the wire. Drives through a scrapyard near the water's edge. The limo's headlights cut through the night. The steel arch of a bridge looms nearby. The car comes to a stop and Jimmy and Jelly get out, pulling their guns. As a serious-faced Paul clambers out, Jimmy opens the door for Ben.
Get out.
Jimmy pushes Ben away from the car. He eyes Jelly's gun. Paul looks uneasy.
I'll leave us alone.
Jelly puts his gun away.
Sorry, Doc. It's not personal, you know.
Don't kid yourself, Jelly. It doesn't get more personal than this.
Paul holds a gun to Ben's head.
Walk over there.
His back to Paul and the gun, Ben steps towards the water's edge.
You know why I gotta do this, don't you?
Yes, do you?
Don't fucking bullshit me. You've ratted me out. You've betrayed me.
I betrayed you.
Stab me in the back.
I betrayed you. Well, yeah. That's interesting. Who's got the gun?
Don't give me that bullshit. What are you, insulting my intelligence? You cooperated with the feds.
They played me a tape. I heard you say you were going to kill me.
What?
You said you were going to kill me.
Never.
I heard
on my mother's life. Never.
I heard
never.
It.
Never said it.
You know, it's
never.
Not important now, but I did not betray you. Yeah, I had a wire on, but I took it off because I think I know how to help you.
I don't want to know what you think.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to know what you
think. Yes, you
I
do.
Don't.
You came to me for help. Let me help you.
It's over!
Paul holds the gun close to Ben's neck.
Can I ask you one last question?
Paul regards him steely-eyed.
What?
What'd you order?
What?
What did you order?
When?
The night that your father was killed. What were you eating?
How the fuck do I know?
You don't remember?
It was 35 years ago.
What was your father eating?
I told you, I don't remember. What are you fucking talking about?
Try. It's a simple question. What was your father eating?
Thinking, Paul looks away, then eyes narrowed, looks back at Ben.
Benny.
Good. What did you have?
Ben faces Paul, looking straight at the gun.
Ravioli.
The food was already on the table?
Paul shakes his head.
I was serving it.
And did you see the guys coming?
Paul nods.
One of them. Dressed like a busboy.
Your father saw him too?
Nah. But I knew the guy looked wrong.
Why, Paul?
Pants looked too good for a busboy.
So he walked to the table?
I watched him the whole way.
Did you say anything?
Paul shakes his head.
Nah. I was so mad. So mad at me, I couldn't say anything.
And you were mad at him?
Ben looks at Paul with concern.
And then what happened?
I never saw the second guy. My mother just started screaming.
And you blame yourself?
I could have saved him.
But you were mad at him.
I should have said something.
You couldn't have saved him, Paul.
I killed him.
You didn't kill him, Paul. You didn't. You were mad at him, but you didn't kill him. It's the life he chose.
I just let him die. I let him die. I let him die. And I couldn't sing a final.
So why don't you say it now, Paul?
I mean,
tell him. If he was here, what would you say to him?
I can't.
Yes, you can,
I
Paul.
I can't.
Tell him.
No, I can't.
Tell him, Paul.
I want to say I'm so sad, I'm sorry.
Paul clings on to Ben.
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, I let him die. I'm sorry, Dad.
Jelly and Jimmy are listening.
Jesus. Poor guy's falling apart.
Why don't he just pop him already? It's embarrassing standing here like this.
Jelly gestures.
Shut up.
With two people inside it, the car that followed Paul's limo from the restaurant pulls up and turns off its headlights. Ben is crouched down beside Paul.
You couldn't save him, Paul.
I'm not gonna like that.
No, he was trying to save you. That's what you fought about. He didn't want this for you.
No.
And you don't want it for Anthony.
No, I
don't. You don't want him to grow up the way that you did without a father.
Oh, God, no.
Carrying guns, Handsome Jack and his partner are out of their car and on their way.
Your father's not dead, Paul. He's alive in you. And he's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you to...
Ben ducks, the limo's peppered with bullets.
They're shooting! Oh, get that!
Jimmy and Jelly emerge, guns blazing. Jimmy is shot down.
Put yourself together! You're gonna feel a lot worse.
Paul lies in Ben's lap.
Paul, come on!
Jelly fights on.
Time to channel all this nice grief into a murderous rage.
Jack fires at Jelly.
Paul, come on, it's time to shoot back. Let's go, here we go. Bang, bang.
Ben lifts Paul's limp hand.
Bang, bang, come on. Come
Paul's dropped the gun.
Come on, Paul, bang, bang.
Daddy.
Now, come on, Paul, put the gun in your hand and shoot. Oh, for God's sake, Paul, shoot the body.
Paul's lying on the ground.
Give me the fucking gun.
Ben grabs the gun and starts to shoot over the limo without looking. Jelly's still firing. Handsome Jack and his partner are shot down. Jack's automatic weapon sputters on as his body goes limp. Eventually, he lies inert over the bonnet of a wrecked car. Jelly comes out from behind a car. The injured Jimmy starts to stand.
Stay down.
A stunned Ben appears.
Paul, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Jelly, did I do that?
Handsome Jack.
No, Doc. That one's mine. You get the 72 Chevy and the Amana side-by-side refrigerator freezer. You okay, Paul?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm gonna check on Jimmy.
Jelly lumbers off.
Jimmy!
Paul gets to his feet and walks around to Ben, who still has his gun raised. Paul pushes it to one side.
Be fucking ironic, ain't it? You can give me back the gun, though.
Ben looks unsure.
It's okay. I wasn't really gonna whack it.
Paul.
All right, maybe I was going to whack it. I was real conflicted about it. Progress, right?
Paul fights back more tears. Ben hands him the gun. Paul stares down.
I can't see you anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Paul lifts a hand to his face.
Paul, you hit some very big stuff tonight, so you're going to probably feel like this for a while.
Paul nods.
But you're close to something. The rest is up to you. Good luck.
Paul glances up at Ben, who slowly walks away. A new day, Ben's with a patient, a middle-aged woman with light brown curls.
I want to please him when we're in bed, but whatever I do, it seems like it's never enough. Now he wants me to say things when we're making love.
Ben stares at her and puts down his pen.
What kind of things does he want you to say?
Well, he wants me to call him Big Boy, and... he's my bucking bronco, and I'm supposed to ride him hard and put him back in the barn wet.
Beside her, her rotund husband nods. Ben looks lost for words. He glances down at his notebook, then tilts back his head, and a smile creeps across his face.
Are you okay, Dr. Sobel?
He nods, lifting a hand.
Here's what I think you should do, Elaine. I would do whatever he says. If he wants you to talk, talk. I would get on all fours and bark like a dog. I would do whatever it takes. Smoke some joints, drink some wine, whatever it is, to get off on each other and be happy. I mean, come on, look at the two of you. Where are you running? This is the time to be happy. Because life is just too short. It's just too fucking short.
Okay.
Smiling, she turns to her husband, who has a big grin on his face. Ben sits back in his chair.
See you Thursday.
Good job. Good job. Everything okay?
Inside in the bedroom, Paul's dressing.
Paul,
Charlie,
feeling all right? You need anything?
Nah, feel great, never felt better. Where'd I go to that meeting? They ain't gonna know what hit him. I'm gonna knock him dead.
All right, I'll be outside.
Jelly goes, leaving Paul alone as he fixes his tie in front of a full-length mirror. The TV's on.
When I look at him, I think about how different it was. Was providing for a family simpler back then? Or did he just make it look that way?
Paul sits on the bed and watches.
Decisions are tougher now. There's so much information, so many ways to invest.
On screen, a white-haired man gives his son a hand up some rocks. Paul sobs.
Strange. I spent the first half of my life not wanting to walk in his footsteps. Now I only wish I could.
On screen, a young boy runs up to the old man who lifts him off the ground.
More complex. Ask a Merrill Lynch financial consultant who can help with a plan and more ways to make the plan work than anyone else.
At the Waldorf Astoria, a radiant Laura glides down the stairs in her wedding dress. Her father takes her hand. He walks her down the flower-lined aisle. The elegantly dressed guests stand and admire her as she passes. Laura beams happily at them all as photos are taken. Later, she and Ben stand before a rabbi.
We are put on this earth to find a love, a soulmate, someone with whom we can create joy. And how glad we are that Ben and Laura have found each other. And we anticipate and celebrate the years of joy they will share together from this day on.
Jell is hiding in some foliage.
Ben, do you take this woman, Laura, to be your lawful wedded wife, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part, so help you God?
No!
What?
Excuse me?
No, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to him.
Who, him?
It's not important, yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, to the first part, to her. That's a yes. Go ahead, pick it up from there.
This is an emergency.
Don't believe this.
Jelly, this is my wedding.
Want me to make a scene?
Bigger than this?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, tick-tock.
Let's go.
Hurry up. Pronounce.
By the power vested in me by the state of New York, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Ring, ring, kiss, kiss.
Laura snatches the ring.
Here. Fine. Good. Okay. Just go. Go.
Sorry, Miss Sobel. Duty calls.
Oh, you're the first person to call me Mrs. Sobel.
Nice, huh?
No.
Clutching Laura's bouquet, Ben is hustled down the aisle by Jelly. The guests stand and applaud. Ben and Laura's father look on confused. A limo pulls away from the hotel. It's being watched.
I'm telling you, Doc, this is serious. If you don't make that meeting, they're going to kill him for sure.
Well, can't somebody else in the family go for him? What about Tommy the Tongue or Louis the Lip? Or what about you? Why don't you go?
That would be a very good idea, except for one little detail. I'm a fucking moron. I'm known for it. You got to go.
You must be a moron.
Hey, watch it.
You just said it yourself.
No. When I say it, it's different. When you say it, it sounds very negative.
Jelly, I am not going to any meeting. I am no longer on the payroll. Do you understand that? Now, I am going back to my wife.
Doc?
Jelly, don't... Now, Jelly, we've been through this before. You can't shoot me.
Correction. Because Mr. Vitti couldn't shoot you. You're going to that meeting.
This is Surveillance 6. They've just left the building and are heading east.
Roger that.
A helicopter trails the limo. Inside the car, Jimmy hands Ben something.
Here, put this on.
This is chrome. I can see my own reflection.
Chrome? Let me tell you something. That's a $1,200 Valentino suit, okay? And if you spill anything on it, I'm going to mess you up good.
Hey, shut up. You're making him nervous. If he gets nervous and fucks this up, they'll kill him for sure.
This is insane.
It's all right, Doc. Let's go over it again. Mr. Vitti's been detained. Apologies all around, but a beep, but a bop, but a boop. And then you say you're the new consigliere, and you're prepared to speak for Mr. Vitti.
And then what?
And then you keep your mouth shut and hope nobody asks you nothing.
That's some fucking plan you got there.
Shut up. Doc, if you got to talk, Frank, try to be vague. Could you do that?
I'm a psychiatrist. Believe me, I can be vague.
Ben's face is full of anguish.
Looks like you're headed for the top.
The helicopter glides above the city.
We'll pick them up on the other side.
The helicopter flies low across the city. On the other side, several limos emerge from the tunnel.
Here they come.
The helicopter pilot looks round behind him.
Which one is it?
The black one.
The numerous limos drive through the toll gates and away, all peeling off in different directions. At home, Paul lies on the bed with his wife. His young son is perched at the end of the bed, watching anxiously.
Are you sure you don't want me to get you something to eat?
Mm.
You want some iced tea?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to call Dr. Terragrossa.
Is Daddy going to be all right?
Paul lifts his head.
I think so, honey.
Shouldn't you be outside playing?
No, that's all right.
Paul sits up.
How long are you going to sit there?
How long are you going to lay there?
A smile plays on Paul's lips as he looks fondly at his son.
I'm done.
Joe drives towards an industrial area. A guard on a watchtower signals to someone and a corrugated iron gate is opened. The car drives into a factory car park surrounded by high fences topped with barbed wire. Several black limos are already parked up. The new arrival pulls over near the factory building and a rear door is opened. A nervous-looking Ben gets out wearing the shiny grey suit Jimmy gave him. Ben looks around him fearfully. Jelly and Jimmy are now both out of the limo. He ushers Ben forward.
It'll be all right now.
Jelly puts a comforting arm round Ben's shoulders. Jelly peers inside the disused factory where tables have been set up to form a large rectangle and various mobsters mill about. Ben follows Jelly inside, eyeing the guy on the door. Ben looks up at the armed guards on walkways above them.
There's no way I can get away with this.
Oh.
Jelly, I can't do this.
Don't fucking whine. Whining's a dead giveaway.
They greet the mobsters.
Blend in. Oh, hey.
Ben mimics Jelly.
Hey. Oh.
Primo.
So where's Vidi?
He ain't here.
He ain't here.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
How you been?
Yeah.
All right? All right.
Oh.
Hey, when'd you guys get out? You need anything, you let me know.
Oh.
Oh. Hey, hey. Hey, aye. Oh.
Oh, qui se va gente?
Ben's turn.
Hey. Easter weekend.
He hugs Stevie Beef.
Huh? You're a planet!
He kisses the big man on the cheeks, then Jelly moves him on.
Blend it.
Primo and the guy with the big forehead are watching them.
Where's the guy with Jelly?
I've never seen him before.
Ben sits down at the table between Jelly and Carlo. Carlo turns to Jelly, stony-faced.
Hey, what's going on? Where's Paul?
He'll be here. Don't worry.
What's he doing here?
Oh, he's just, it's okay. Forget about it.
Forget about it? What the hell is that, forget about it?
I can't do this.
No, I can't do this job.
All right, gentlemen, I think we're going to get started here. We got a lot to talk about here today, and for now, we're just going to stick with the more important issues, all right? Oh, and one more thing. If you got anything to say, let us know who you are, because a lot of us here don't know each other. And I didn't think anybody here was into wearing fucking name tags. You know what I'm talking about?
As Ben laughs, Primo eyes him coldly. Ben shuts up, looking down as Primo stands.
I'm Primo Sodom. They call me Sonny Long. Some of you know me as Mikey Gaga. Some of you know me as Joey Bumbats. Be as it may. It's good to see so many of the old faces here and to welcome some of the new ones from all over the country. I see Joe Balthazar. Frankie Zello. But I'm a little disappointed that the head of our other New York family isn't here today. All I see is his man Jelly and some sort-off little prick nobody knows.
Jelly gives Ben a nudge. Ben ignores him and Jelly stands.
Yeah, the thing is, Mr. Beattie's been detained. Plus, he's sorry for his detainment.
Detained? What kind of bullshit is that? What's more important than this? As the host of this meeting, I take his not being here as a sign of disrespect to me and all these other men, too, who came a long way to be here.
Jelly tugs at Ben.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, well, you see, the thing is that he's not feeling well. Plus, he don't feel good.
Jelly!
Ben stands, hitting him.
What's the matter with you? We never discuss Mr. Vitti's health outside the family. You know better than that. Sit down. Sit down. You want a fresh one?
His bottom lip trembling, Jelly sits. Primo glowers.
Who is this guy? What the fuck is he doing here?
Who I am? Who I am? Or who am I? Who am I is a question for the ages. That's one we're all searching for, to find out who I am. Who's in there? Who wants to come out and go, hey, I'm hungry. Who I am is too deep and almost... You gotta go in deep and pull out the thing, like with that movie where the thing came out of the stomach and ate up the people on the fucking spaceship. May they rest in peace. My name is Ben Sobolione. Ben Sobolione. I'm also known as Benny the Groin, Sammy the Schnoz, Elmer the Fudd, Tubby the Tuba, and once as Miss Phyllis Levine. But that was at a party, it was years ago. I smoked at the Tupip and I had a Quacalude, and then suddenly I'm in fishnets and singing show tunes. These things happen, but it has nothing to do
with what I'm here with you fine gentlemen today. So I apologize. That being said, I'm also known to the people who know me the best as the fucking doctor. The second part of your question that you asked me is why am I here? I am here representing Mr. Paul Vitti as his consigliere Glary.
Ben slaps Jelly twice.
Never correct me in public again. Do you understand that?
He squeezes Jelly's cheeks.
You broke my heart, Jelly. You broke my heart.
Ben straightens and turns to look at Primo.
I apologize for the second interruption. As Mr. Vitti's consigliere, I am intimately involved in all aspects of the Vitti family business, and I am prepared to speak for Mr. Vitti on all matters. Bada bing, bada boom, bada boo.
Okay, doctor. Let's stop with the bullshit.
Primo and Ben sit back down.
Everybody knows there's been this thing between me and Paul Vitti for a long time.
Which thing are you talking about? The first thing or the second thing?
What second thing? I only know one thing.
Hey! How can we bring up the first thing if we're not going to talk about the second thing? Did you talk to the guy?
What guy?
The guy with the thing.
What thing? What the fuck are you talking about?
How should I know? You brought it up. See, this is the whole problem. You see this? Do you see what's happening here? You can't have an intelligent conversation with this guy. Who?
Well, how about if I put two bullets in the back of your fucking brain? What do you think of that?
I don't know. That's a little dark. What do you think about that?
What do I think? I think it's a good idea. Why would I say it if I didn't think it was good?
I don't know. Why would you?
I wouldn't. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, 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 oh. Look at what's happening here. Look at you. Do you feel you have to get angry to be heard so people will listen to you? Is that your deal?
What is he talking about?
I don't know, but you do have a tendency to get angry.
I agree, Primo.
I'm trying to talk about Vitti. Why are we talking about me?
Oh, oh. That's interesting, too. Do you feel you're not important enough for us to discuss you?
What does that mean?
What do you think I mean?
Hey, fuck you!
Primo, calm down.
How can I calm down when this prick won't stop with the questions?
Could you pass the fruit, please?
That's it, you're a dead man.
Primo pulls his gun.
Primo! Primo!
Paul swaggers up.
Put it down. Put it down.
All eyes on him, a slick-looking Paul approaches Ben and Jelly. He whispers in Jelly's ear.
Keep it running.
How you feeling?
Sit down, I'll take it from here.
Sit down. Sit down.
Primo and his man sit.
I'm Paul Vitti. I'm sorry I was late. Those years that know me know I meant no disrespect. It's all right with you. I just want to say something and then I'll leave you to your business. About 2.5 weeks ago, somebody killed my very dear friend, Dominic Mineta.
Primo glances around the table.
Come on, this is bullshit. Everybody knows he whacked out Dominic so he could take over everything.
Whatever. What I really came here to say is that I've come to a very, very important decision in my life. And that is...
Paul looks around.
I want out. I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to go away for a while. But I will respect the oath I took the day I was made. And whatever I know about anybody else's business, I take with me to the grave. You have my word. As for my own family... I know Carlo Mangano would like to be the new boss.
Thank you, Paul.
That's why he betrayed Dominic and me to our enemies. And he sent his old man down to Miami to try and kill me.
Paul, I swear to God, you got this.
Shut your mouth. And even though it's my right, I ain't going to take revenge. And you want to know why? Because you got a problem. You got a problem with aggression. I don't know, maybe you weren't hugged when you were a kid. But you ought to look inside yourself. Look inside the inner self and find out who you are. Because for me... I had a breakthrough. I'm in a good place mentally, and I'm feeling good about me.
Ben smiles proudly.
I don't know, Paul. I can see where some people might have a problem.
I realize that. So as a token of good faith between us, I've taken the liberty of writing down a few things, putting them in a safe deposit box in case, God forbid, something should happen to me, my friend, or my family.
The mobsters glance edgily at each other.
I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I say good luck and God bless, Paul.
The mobsters stand raising their glasses of red wine.
Salud.
Thank you. Come on, let's go. Salud.
I'm his friend.
Come on. Okay.
Paul drags Ben away from the table. Outside, Jimmy and Jelly wait by the limo as Paul and Ben emerge.
Do you feel proud of yourself?
Get out of here.
You know, there are people who went there for their whole lives who don't have breakfast like you had.
Hey, Paul!
Primo, Carlo, and some others come out.
Hey, Primo, I don't want to do this.
What do you think this is, a fucking civil service job? You could just quit and walk away? What are you, fucking crazy?
Not anymore. Hey, Carlo, tell me something. You're going to stab me in the back like the piece of shit I always knew you were?
No, I ain't going to stab you in the back, Paul. I want to see your face when I do it.
Yeah? I don't think so. Momo! Eddie!
Several gun-toting gangsters appear.
It's over, Primo. And get the fuck out of here.
Scowling, Primo shifts from foot to foot, then taps Carlo on the stomach, gesturing him and the others back inside.
Machine gun was a nice touch. A little hostile.
Primo whips round, his gun drawn, and fires at Paul. The bullet hits Ben. Eddie opens fire with the machine gun. The bullets pepper the side of the factory building and the mobster's Scarpa. Paul lifts the injured Ben off the ground and drags him towards the limo, still under fire from Primo. Under pressure, Primo gets behind the wheel of a limo and starts to drive away. Eddie bombards the front of the car with machine gun fire. It comes to a halt, its headlights smashed, its windscreen perforated with bullets. Suddenly, tank-like machines crash through the fences surrounding the factory. They're followed by squad cars. A helicopter flies overhead. Armed agents race across the car park on foot. The mobsters run to the gate, dragging it open. More squad cars block their path. A chubby gangster is grabbed by a policeman as he tries to climb over a fence. He clutches his groin. Another burly guy gets stuck trying to squeeze through locked gates.
Hands on top of the car. One fucking move, I swear to Christ, I'm gonna blow your fucking heart.
Take a pill, RoboCop. Take a pill.
Primo's frisk.
Can't believe it. You took a bullet for me. What doc would ever do that for his patient? I'll never forget that.
Yo.
Oh, I tripped.
Oh, yeah, you tripped. You tripped over your unconscious.
Mr. Vitti, you have the right to remain silent.
Paul's led away. A paramedic approaches Ben.
Hey. Today's my wedding day.
A new day. Sing Sing Prison, Ossining, New York. Ben's visiting Paul.
You got off easy. 18 months is nothing. They found Primo Sandone dead in a field near LaGuardia.
I heard. Don't look at me. I had nothing to do with it. There was a million guys lined up from here to Canarsie looking to whack that bastard.
But I was just checking.
Don't worry. Hey, Doc, you think you could keep going with the private sessions up here?
You'd like to do that?
Paul nods.
Yeah, I could arrange to come up on Saturdays. Or we could do it over the phone.
With phone appointments?
Sure. I do that when a patient's out of town or in federal prison.
Ben smiles warmly.
Yeah.
Paul humbly shakes Ben's hand.
Thanks, Doc.
He pats Ben's arm. The doctor starts to go. Thoughtful, Paul calls after him.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah?
Ben comes back.
You know, I never really got to thank you properly for curing you.
Well, we don't say cure. We say you had a corrective emotional experience.
Excuse me. You're something, you.
Yes, you are. You are something, you.
No, you're something.
No, you.
You!
Paul points at Ben, who gives him a wave. Night, an elegantly dressed Laura and Ben are dancing on their veranda.
Happy?
I just can't get used to it.
Used to what?
It's been so long since the last time you were kidnapped, I don't know if I can adjust.
They kiss.
Hey, listen. Mm-hmm. How about one more dance, and then we'll go upstairs?
Okay.
They kiss again, then Ben moves away.
Tony, can you do one more song?
Oh, anything you want. You know, my friend told me to stay here as long as you needed me. I wouldn't want to let my buddy down. How about World on a String, the Harold Arlen song?
This is so great.
Tony Bennett rejoins his band.
This is a gift.
I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. I've got the string around my finger.
As Tony serenades them from a stage in their garden, the couple dance round and round, their bodies pressed together.
I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go.
The fountain still adorns their front garden, the gushing water illuminated orange by lights dotted around it. On his stage framed with lights, Tony continues his private performance.
Life is a beautiful thing.
ITFC audio description by Amy DeLarabiti. Hold that string.
So if I should ever let go, I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. I've got the string around my finger. What a world. Night, Sobels.
I eat Aunt the pasta twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria. Ti voglio bene. Angelina, I adore you. Evil, you been. Angelina, I live for you. And passione. You have set my heart on fire. But Angelina never listens to my song. I eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria. If she'll be on.